Would you say that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 has any bearing on the subject?
Well, let me just, before we even get there, let me ask, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
I just think the word destroyed kind of informs
you. Oh, okay. I think we touched on this a little bit. It doesn't matter what you do to a body, it's going to be raised. Is that the point that you're making there? Okay, thank you.
We have over 25 more minutes.
I think they're all fine, Glenn. I see no one burning with anticipation to get the mic.
Justin, I enjoyed your talk. I think I probably find myself in position number two, where I don't think that cremation is necessarily a sin, but I wouldn't ever want to do it to one of my loved ones. And I think that's where I fall. I have some concerns about view number three. I think, first of all, that we do need to have Scripture for everything that we do. I believe if there is true Bible silence, there's nothing that explicitly teaches what I'm about to do, or there's nothing that implicitly teaches what I'm about to do. I believe that constitutes silence. There's nothing. And I believe when the Bible is truly silent about something, then we're forbidden to do that. Now, you know, we've been through these arguments several times the last few years, but I believe we have to have Scripture. And I have difficulty finding Scripture saying it's okay to go out and intentionally do this. Now, I can find Scripture for burying.
Mm-hmm.
But finding Scripture to purposefully burn up a body, I'm struggling with that one. But anyway, I think that another problem that we have in our brotherhood is we have a lot of people that do not believe in a physical resurrection. And I don't know what they think is going to happen on Resurrection Day, but a majority of our people that I've been discussing this with do not believe the physical body has anything to do with resurrection. And I believe that is somewhat bolstered by this cremation philosophy, that it doesn't matter, the body's not going to be involved in it anyway. And so what difference does it make whether you cremate it or not? And I believe that one of our topics one day in the study ought to be physical resurrection, and is that a biblical concept?
I think that's probably coming soon. I was talking with Richard about that last night, actually.
Okay.
I think it'd be a good topic for us to study.
I do, too. And the last thing that concerns me is I feel like that in our society, we're becoming pretty irreverent people. When I go to funerals these days, I see people showing up at funerals in basketball shorts and flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they just crawled out of bed. They look like they're going shopping at Walmart or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no reverence for anything anymore. And I think that some of that's bleeding over in this concept of what difference does it make? Let's just burn the body up. It don't matter. And I think that's part of our American culture. We're irreverent about everything. And that bothers me. And, you know, I just thought I would share some of those thoughts with me. I think that burial with Abraham,
mm-hmm.
with Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, in my understanding of their seeking burial, they were doing that because they believed that body was going to be raised. If I understand Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 35 correctly, and they were burying, expecting those bodies to be resurrected, and they showed their belief in the resurrection by burying the body. That's my understanding.
They were demonstrating belief just by being buried, is what you're... Okay.
I believe they were purchasing these tombs and going to the expense of burying it, mm-hmm, in order to show their belief in a physical resurrection. Mm-hmm. And as far as cost, I don't know, you probably know more about this. Is it not legal in Georgia? I think it was legal if your loved one died, you could bury them that day, mm-hmm, within 24 hours with no embalming, nothing. And I heard recently somebody got buried within 24 hours. They were wrapped in a blanket, and they were laid in a grave and covered up. And looks to me like that'd be pretty cheap.
That would be really cheap. You're right. There are some states that will allow that. Where I used to be from, anyways, they didn't allow that in California. They have a fit if you're burying someone in the backyard, but there's probably a reason that they'd have a fit, too.
Well, I can understand your backyard, but at the cemetery, could you do that?
Oh, I don't know if it was legal in California. I did understand through my studies that in Oklahoma, where I live now, that is legal, yeah. And you can skip the embalmment. All that is cheap and relatively... not barbaric, I guess, is the right way to say
well,
it.
Well, you know, this cheapness is a two-edged sword because people, they want to be cremated because it's cheap and they want to save their money.
Uh-huh.
But then when their loved one is going to just have a traditional funeral, well, we're a little bit embarrassed to see them sitting up there in a cardboard box. And we want to add a little bit of money to that and get them a nice-looking casket. Hmm. I know that's a fact because one of our brethren out in Georgia, he died. He had his funeral prepaid for.
Yeah.
And his coffin was a cardboard box with felt on it. It was the cheapest casket. I didn't know they made caskets so cheap looking. And, you know, some of his family was a little bit embarrassed. I thought, why not? I mean, if we're concerned about saving money, yeah, what good is a brass casket? It's going to do somebody, you know.
It's going in the dirt, you know. It's not going to do any good. So as cheaply as I can do it, that's how I would want to do it too. Hey, I appreciate your comments. I might just say, response to the first one, I'm not going to tackle that. I think that Brother Rogers has a study for that at the end. So Bible silence, whatever you think about Bible silence, that is going to really help determine what you think about this subject. But... the second point that you made, there were four there. I didn't write them down. I don't have a pen up here.
The physical resurrection.
Yeah, okay. Whether you... I do think that subject is one that we need to talk about. In 1 John 3, in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." The inspired writer, John, didn't have an idea either of what that was going to be. And that's the category I kind of put myself in. We're not aware of what our raised body will be. And that topic is certainly worthy of discussion. There are other passages we could go to, but since that's not my topic today, we'll save that for next time, I think. The third thing you said, too, there was one thing I wanted to comment on.
Irreverence.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. And Brother Wayne Jackson, I think it was Wayne's article. It might have been Cottrell, I don't know. In one of the articles I read, it was mostly about the irreverence that's shown for individuals these days. And he mentioned funerals, actually. He said in funerals today, like you did, in funerals today, people don't have respect. And, you know, people are playing crazy music and, you know, not giving it the seriousness that you should. Not treating it as you should. Just treating it with some level of irreverence. But I don't know if that can be said with this, because like I was demonstrating, you can be very reverent in caring for the remains. And when you look back to King Saul and Jonathan's cremation, I don't think there was anything but reverence when Gilead did the things that they did. They did those things. Now, I appreciate Brother Ethan. He's here with us today. When I gave this lesson back home, he said they might have been cremated. Saul and Jonathan might have been cremated to prevent the Philistines from taking the body back and putting it back up on the wall. And I hadn't thought about that before. That might be why they did it. Or it could have been just for ease of transport. I'm not sure why they did it. But the fact that they did it, and they did it in a seemingly respectful, reverent way, does indicate to me that that process was okay, at least under that law in that time. So, I think that was it.
Clint?
Appreciate your presentation. And I'm not necessarily going to fall as a defender of Camp 3, but I will say, as you explained View 1, I was reminded of a presentation I heard a Catholic priest give against contraception. And as I listened to it, it was very philosophical. And from a philosophical approach, it was convincing. But at the end, he didn't have any scripture, really, supporting his position. And I was somewhat reminded of that as I heard View 1. A couple of thoughts I had as I listened to Brother George's comments. When Joseph, for instance, requested burial, he did not request burial. He says, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I want to be buried in Canaan. So it wasn't that he was asking for burial instead of cremation. In fact, if he was disposed of in the Egyptian form, his body would have been much better preserved, probably. It would have been mummified. Mm-hmm. But he was wanting to go back to Canaan, seemingly in keeping with the promise that had been made to Abraham of that being their land. And another thought I had was that in Genesis 22 and verse 2, when God tells Abraham to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, of course, his body would be burned, as the name suggests. In Hebrews 11 and verse 19, the Bible says that Abraham was willing to do that because he knew God was able to raise him up. Mm-hmm. Off of the altar, which indicates to me that burning a body is not implicitly a denial of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Or a rebellion against the concept of resurrection. I believe in a bodily resurrection. I believe in a literal bodily resurrection. But I still am not completely convinced that that means that cremation would be wrong. One question I do have for you in your studies. Is there any example of burial in a hole in the ground in the New Testament?
No.
All right.
Well put. And that's interesting that you brought Joseph up, because I really started thinking about that in the course of my studies. His body, though it was several hundred years probably before they moved it, probably was pretty preserved. You think about the transport of that body and how they moved his bones. I don't know exactly what they did, but I don't know that it's unlikely that they did something to make their travels a little easier with that, with those remains. I don't know that. I'm not going to come out and say I think he was cremated. I don't see any evidence that shows that, but logic suggests that they did something with that body of Joseph's, and it was probably pretty well preserved. We have mummies that are uncovered in modern day that are still, you know, they're not much, but you can see that they're pretty preserved still. So they might have done something to accelerate his decomposition when they moved his bones. Good point, by the way, on that other. I didn't think about that.
Right here.
Say it just says they embalmed him. Yeah. Joseph was embalmed, so that could have been the embalming by the Egyptians, could have been mummification. I mean, because they don't seem to make a distinction.
No. So it could have been mummification, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I have one comment in relation to Clint DeFrancis' statement. In Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira were wrapped up and buried.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There's one. Clint would like to counter that. I'm just going to let you guys hash it out. I'll sit up here and smile.
I'll just say that I don't know if that answers my question, because the Bible says Jesus was buried in 1 Corinthians 15, but he was entombed.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, that passage in Jeremiah you mentioned, they buried him like a donkey. Well, they didn't put him in the ground. They just threw him outside the gate. So,
buried like a donkey, that's right. Yeah.
Burial doesn't mean they put him in a hole in the ground in biblical usage. That's my question, is there's an example of putting him in a hole and covering up with dirt and so on and so forth in the New Testament.
I think we're going to have a real hard time proving that, because that custom has come through time. It wasn't something that we see demonstrated in the scriptures in that much, I'm going to say this word wrong, specificity.
George. When I try to teach people that sprinkling for baptism is wrong, mm-hmm. I go to Romans chapter 6, where the Bible says we are buried with him by baptism into death. Mm-hmm. And I've always illustrated it. If my dog died and I just sprinkled a little dirt on top of the dog, would we say he was buried? And everybody always says no. And I said, well, what do I have to do to bury my dog? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, you have to dig a hole and put his body in the hole and then cover him completely up. And I said, well, that's correct. And that's what happens when we're buried with him in baptism. We're completely immersed into the water. Mm-hmm. And it looks to me like that Romans 6 there, being buried, implies what it would be an ordinary dig a hole and put the body in the grave and cover it up, would completely cover it. That looks to me like that's what's being implied there.
In our modern day culture, I can see why you get that response, but I wonder, would you get the same if you asked the first century person what it is to be buried? If you ask them, they might say you'd move some rocks away from the cave. And
oh, I think that history probably shows that those tombs were rich men's tombs, and I think that's why Jesus was put in the tomb, is because he was buried with the rich. Isaiah 53. And I don't think common people had tombs. I think that was rich people.
Sort of strange that the only two we really have any evidence of, though, as to what was suggested happened, is Lazarus and Jesus. And both of them were above ground. I don't know if that means anything, but it seems that both of them were above ground, some sort of cave.
I have a question and an observation as well. Whenever a few years ago, archaeologists discovered what they thought was a burial box of James, the brother of Jesus, in Jerusalem. Of course, that was later shown to be a hoax by some, and some still say that it wasn't. But in reading about that process of those burial boxes, which were small, it became understood that in that land back there, these caves were made out of material, and the bodies were taken in there and laid in there and wrapped up. But then decay would happen. And the body would decay and turn into a pile of bones or whatever it might be. And then the family in this family cave would come back in there for the next generation and sweep up, or if you will, accumulate all of those bones and put it into a smaller box, almost like similar to what we might call a cremation box. And those boxes were then stacked inside that cave, and the place was prepared for the next generation, where bodies would become inlaid, they would decompose, and in some places they said it was the very nature of the material in the cave would contribute to that, lime or whatever it is. But anyway, the body would decompose, and then they would literally sweep all of these ashes that were left together and put them into a small box, label them in some way, and then stack them in the cave. But that's the reason why this cave could be a family cave passed down from generation to generation, and all of those family members fit in there, is because they would go in there, lay the body in there until decomposition, re-clean it up, put it in boxes, and stack them to the side. So that's my understanding archaeologically of what happened and what led to that small box kind of controversy. Richard, just a moment. I have one more verse. in Matthew 10 and verse 26, it says, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known, but I tell in darkness speak." And then he says in verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to cure the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Basically, what he is, the fear that he is taking away, or the fear that he is speaking to here, is a fear that what happens to your body is going to affect your eternal destiny. I don't think he's talking about death. Everybody feared death. But what is he saying here? Fear, don't fear him, which can kill the body. Why? We're all going to die. But he says, rather fear him which can destroy both soul and body. In other words, here's the whole point. Don't fear what happens to your body. You know, whenever we think of a bomb being dropped on Japan that's going to literally take somebody's molecules and split them and scatter them all over the horizon. My molecule, I mean, evaporate. There's no physical trace of this person left. Will that person get a resurrection? Yeah, they're going to get a resurrection, either to life or in death. So what Jesus is saying to people is, no matter how you die, you don't have to worry about what happened to your body in death, and that it's going to have an impact on the resurrection. Don't fear him which can destroy the body. In other words, I think he's literally speaking to our subject. That don't fear what happens to your body, because you're still going to get a resurrection unto life. Romans, the book of Romans in Romans 8:23, does say that there's going to be a redemption of the body, in whatever way that is. 1 Corinthians 15 addresses it, you know, there's going to be a change. That which goes in is not that which comes out. That's a whole argument of 1 Corinthians 15. Never mind, I'm going to stop. The whole point I'm getting at here.
No, you're not.
The whole point is no matter what happens to the body, guys, I mean, Jesus addresses the issue of resurrection. And he says, doesn't matter how you died or what happens to your body, you're going to get a resurrection, either into life or death. And it's going to be different than the one that went into the grave, no matter what it is. There's going to be a change happen to it. So I just wanted to put my two cents in.
My thoughts on that go immediately to Jezebel. You know, she
first.
We know what became of her. And she was scattered all over the place, and she's going to have a resurrection just like the rest of us.
Just a question on this burial. Wouldn't the absence of thousands of caves in Israel indicate to us that we may be mistaken about burial practices? I mean, we're talking about there were hundreds of thousands of people that lived in Israel. Mm-hmm. That there aren't that many caves. I mean, there's caves, but so people surely were buried in the ground. And maybe, as George has said, wealthy people had caves. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing today. You go to a cemetery and you may see some people whose graves are, you know, in the ground, and there may be in that same cemetery some little mausoleum that's been constructed where a wealthier person, their casket was placed inside this building, but I just can't believe that everybody was buried in a cave.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have what we have is the problem. We only have the few instances recorded for us, and you all might be right. I don't know. It could be that burial was just as standard as it is today. I can't speak to why aren't there more caves, because you know that's a subject that's not that I'm not familiar with. But I don't know. Could not the ground levels and such are they not much different today than they were then, and we're still digging and finding things? Who's to say there weren't more caves everywhere too, and more tombs everywhere? As we dig and as we find, we might uncover more common practice. We might come across buried people too. It might be more common than we think. What I'm saying is I don't think we know. We have the two examples given to us in the New Testament, and if we're just basing things off of what we find, that's what we got. You might be right, though.
I'm just wondering if maybe the issue of cremation is the thought process of burning your loved ones, and do we connect that with what the scriptures say about hell and fire?
That's one of the biggest hurdles that I think people have to overcome if they're going to embrace view three, is we're sending our body through flame, which is the last thing we want to think about when we're about ready to die. So if you can make that separation and do so with a clear conscience.
And just because you're cremated doesn't mean you can't be buried also.
Right.
Because some people choose to be cremated and then buried into the ground also. Or
yep.
I couldn't do it, but put you up on the mantle.
Yeah.
But I think it's... I think in our country here and around the world, there's options there of that. And I think it's really comes down to, are we tied to that thought of, is our body going to, I believe God's going to resurrect us in any form that we are, from if we were put into ground and was completely dust, or we were burned or exploded or anything, that our body, God can put our bodies back together mm-hmm. as we were, but as a new body, a changed. So,
I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're going to embrace cremation, then you really have to get over that idea that you're sending that body with the spirit removed through a really hot fire. You can get through that, then.
Anyone else?
In the back, I think.
Yes.
Just a quick comment. I thought maybe this verse would be related to the burials in the New Testament. Matthew 27 and verse 7, where it talks about the potter's field. Just anyone might have a comment on that.
I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. Is there anybody that wants to comment on that? Because I've not done any study about that. Smith, go ahead.
The potter's field was a piece of ground that potters got their clay from to make clay pots. So they dug a lot of holes in the ground. The hole was already dug.
So maybe
indigents
put bodies
and
in.
Others that had no one to care for their bodies after death, like Judas.
Mm-hmm.
The civic authorities had just dumped the body there and covered up.
Well, there we have our burial evidence. I don't know if you'd want to follow in Judas's footsteps, but...
Anyone? anyone else? We only have about 14 seconds.
Well, I'll just take that time then to say thank you again, and thank you for your input. And I really appreciate the contributions that you all made towards the end here. And I look forward to the rest of the study today. Thank you for letting me come up here and teach.